Tonight, breaking news as we come on the air. ABC News has learned President Trump intends to pick Amy Coney Barrett as his nominee to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg on the Supreme Court. What we've just learned tonight. The news comes on the same day this nation witnessed an historic farewell at the U.S. Capitol. The casket of the late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, escorted into the rotunda by a military honor guard, becoming the first woman and the first Jewish person to lie in state. Former Vice President Joe Biden and Senator Kamala Harris among those attending. A bipartisan line of women lawmakers saluting her as she left. Justice Ginsburg's trainer doing push-ups before her casket to honor her. And tonight, that breaking headline, President Trump moving to make his pick official. Also tonight, the family of Breonna Taylor in front of the cameras today after a grand jury declined to charge three Louisville police officers in the shooting death of Breonna Taylor. The family now demanding a release of the grand jury transcripts. One officer charged with wanton endangerment, bullets going into a neighboring apartment. The family attorney asking, what about the bullets that hit Breonna Taylor? And tonight here, the video now emerging showing police right after the raid on Breonna Taylor's home. President Trump's chief of staff going after the director of the FBI today, who told the American people we have not seen historically any kind of coordinated national voter fraud effort in a major election. And tonight here, a closer look at mail-in voting and absentee voting and why the president is pushing voting by mail in some states and not others. And a state-by-state guide for you at home tonight. The coronavirus in this country as the U.S. passes 7 million infections, Florida's governor moving to pull back restrictions as that state hits a grim milestone, more than 14,000 dead. And tonight, cases now climbing in 32 states. The first criminal charges involving nursing homes and COVID-19, two leaders at a state-run home for veterans where at least 76 veterans died. The attorney general today calling it shocking. The frightening moment during a live stream, former congressman and presidential candidate Ron Paul appearing to suffer a medical emergency. What we've learned tonight.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us as we near the end of another consequential week in this country. So much news, and tonight is no exception. The late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg breaking another barrier today, becoming the first woman, the first Jewish person to lie in state. And just before we came on the air tonight, news from the White House coming in, sources telling ABC News that President Trump intends to pick Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court. The president is expected to officially make the announcement tomorrow. And the news comes, of course, just hours after the final public farewell to Justice Ginsburg lying in state at the Capitol. Members of Congress paying tribute, later her coffin taking a final journey. Women members of Congress from both parties watching, paying their respects as she was carried down those steps. And so tonight here, as a nation pays tribute, there is also late reporting on what comes next. Just 39 days now until the election. President Trump said he would name a replacement by week's end, and it appears he's on track to do so. Terry Moran with late reporting tonight from the court.
Tonight, sources tell ABC News President Trump intends his third pick for the nation's highest court to be Judge Amy Coney Barrett from the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit. Barrett, a graduate and former law professor at the University of Notre Dame, is a mother of seven and devout Catholic. She is a favorite of anti-abortion rights groups and was pressed by senators in her 2017 confirmation hearing.
The conclusion one draws is that the dogma lives loudly within you. And that's of concern.
Barrett told senators her faith would not impact her decisions.
It's never appropriate for a judge to impose that judge's personal convictions, whether they derive from faith or anywhere else, on the law.
Barrett would push the court farther to the right as the Capitol bade a final majestic farewell to Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg today.
Forward.
A military honor guard carrying her flag-draped casket across the plaza and up the stairs in perfect, solemn procession.
Ready, step.
Ginsburg becoming the first woman and the first Jewish person to lie in state in the Capitol, breaking two more final barriers. Among the invited attendees, Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden and his wife Jill, and seated next to them at the socially distant ceremony, Elizabeth Salas, Ginsburg's longtime housekeeper. Rabbi Lauren Holtzman spoke briefly of Justice Ginsburg's long and unfinished struggle for equality for all in America.
Today we stand in sorrow, and tomorrow we, the people, must carry on Justice Ginsburg's legacy.
Opera star Denise Graves, a favorite of Ginsburg's, sang an anthem.
America, America, I gave my best to you.
And after Speaker Pelosi led members of Congress to pay respects, women first. A final salute from the Capitol Police, and then she was carried out.
Ready, step.
Women lawmakers from both political parties lining the steps. And as the hearse departed, a final wave for the notorious RBG.
And so let's bring in Terry Moran at the Supreme Court again tonight for us. And Terry, let's get back to that breaking headline as we come on. I know sources telling ABC News at this hour that the president does intend to pick Amy Coney Barrett as a Supreme Court pick. And the president has said he would like a vote before the election.
He sure would, David. He thinks it's a great political issue for him, and the GOP Senate leadership will again do his bidding. The Judiciary Committee, headed by Lindsey Graham, planning hearings for the second week in October, with a vote possibly coming before Election Day or shortly thereafter. This despite that ABC News poll that shows a strong majority, 57% of the American public, that's a lot of Republicans too, think the next president, the president elected in November, should fill Ruth Ginsburg's seat. David?
Terry Moran leading us off with the breaking developments tonight. Terry, thank you. We turn next this evening to the family, the mother of Breonna Taylor, coming before the cameras today after that grand jury brought no charges against the police in her daughter's death. Taylor's mother demanding the release of the grand jury transcript now. The governor of Kentucky has said parts of the transcript should be released. Protesters on the streets of Louisville overnight and in other cities across the country. Newly released police body cam video tonight showing officers treating Sergeant John Mattingly, who was wounded by Taylor's boyfriend when the officers barged into the apartment. And tonight, one officer, as we've been reporting, charged with wanton endangerment for those bullets going into a neighboring apartment. But Breonna Taylor's family asking, what about the bullets that hit Taylor? ABC's Alex Perez from Louisville.
Tonight, the family of Breonna Taylor speaking out, heartbroken, angry, and demanding answers after a grand jury decided not to indict the officers involved in the shooting that killed her.
You didn't just rob me of my and my family. You robbed the world of a queen. Mm-hmm. The system as a whole has failed her.
Wearing Taylor's work EMT jacket, her aunt reading a letter written by the 26-year-old's mother, Tamika Palmer, who was standing nearby, too emotional to speak.
I am an angry black woman. Yeah. Angry because our black women keep dying at the hands of police officers.
Black men.
And black men.
The letter taking aim at Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron.
I never had faith in Daniel Cameron to begin with.
The family's lawyer demanding Cameron reverse his stance and release grand jury transcripts.
If you want us to accept the results, then release the transcript.
Taylor killed in March after a botched raid at her apartment. An autopsy obtained by ABC News confirms she died of multiple gunshot wounds. A grand jury charging Brett Hankison, one of the three officers involved, for allegedly endangering neighbors when he opened fire, but not with Taylor's death. Taylor's family wondering, what about the bullets that were fired into her apartment?
Breonna's name is not mentioned anywhere in the indictment. I know you talked about that, but how hurtful is that? How angering is that?
The fact that Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron did not mention her name once in the indictment was like a kick in the stomach to Tamika Palmer.
Today, Louisville police confirming this newly released body cam video posted to social media by Sergeant John Mattingly's lawyer, showing him getting help outside Taylor's apartment after he was shot. The attorney general maintains the officers announced themselves and says her boyfriend, Kenneth Walker, who was in the home with her, shot Mattingly when they barged into the apartment. But Walker telling investigators he fired first because officers didn't identify themselves. Police say there is no body cam footage of the raid. In Louisville, protesters violating curfew, taking their frustration to the streets for a second night. The city now bracing for a weekend of unrest after mostly peaceful protests overnight. But there were some violent clashes.
Everyone has a First Amendment right to protest. But I want to stress that violence and destruction will not be tolerated.
And David, at this point, it does not appear the public will get to see those transcripts anytime soon. The attorney general says because they are related to the ongoing federal investigation, he won't be releasing them. David?
Alex Perez on this again tonight. Alex, thank you. Now to President Trump and his chief of staff today going after the director of the FBI just 24 hours after the FBI director told the American people that we have not seen historically any kind of coordinated national voter fraud effort in a major election. Tonight here, a closer look at mail-in voting and absentee voting and why the president is pushing voting by mail in some states and not others. Here's our chief White House correspondent, Jonathan Carl.
President Trump is campaigning like his presidency depends on it. Four states in 2 days, trying to raise doubts about the legitimacy of the election along the way.
We may end up in a dispute for a long time because that's the way they want it. But we're going to end up winning, that's for sure. Okay?
The president continues to warn of widespread voter fraud, despite the FBI director's assessment that there has been no such thing.
Is voting by mail secure?
We have not seen, historically, any kind of coordinated national voter fraud effort in a major election, whether it's by mail or otherwise.
That prompted something rarely, if ever, seen. The White House chief of staff publicly slapping down the FBI director, chosen by the president himself.
With all due respect to Director Wray, he has a hard time finding emails in his own FBI, let alone figuring out whether there's any kind of voter fraud. Perhaps he needs to get involved on the ground and he would change his testimony on Capitol Hill.
But it's not just Director Wray. State election authorities across the country say there is no evidence of widespread voter fraud. Still, President Trump talks about it again and again, highlighting states that mail ballots to all registered voters, whether they ask for them or not.
What's going on with balloting will prove to be one of the great catastrophes in the history of our country.
It's a scam. It's a hoax.
They're sending out tens of millions of ballots to everybody.
The president makes it seem like this is happening in all of the highly contested states. But in fact, only 9 states send ballots to all registered voters. And only one of those, Nevada, is considered a battleground state in this election. And in all states with mail-in voting, there are safeguards to ensure nobody can vote twice. Even as the president attacks mail-in voting, he's doing it himself. And his team is urging supporters to do the same. His son, Donald Trump Jr., taping this robocall.
Voting absentee is a safe and secure way to guarantee your voice is heard. That's why President Trump wants you to join him in being an absentee voter this year.
Joe Biden says Trump is just trying to muddy the waters.
I'm confident all the irresponsible, outrageous attacks on voting will have an election in this country, as we always have had, and he'll leave.
All right, so let's get right to John Carl back with us again tonight. John, you've been reporting this all week long. President Trump still refusing to say whether there would be a peaceful transfer of power if he loses the election. But tonight we took note that his son, Eric Trump, is weighing in on this.
Eric Trump, in an interview with the Las Vegas Review-Journal, said that his father is just trying to make sure that this is a fair election and that he would concede if Joe Biden won decisively. Here's the exact quote. I think my father's just saying, listen, if he got blown out of the water, of course he'd concede. If he thought there was massive fraud, then he'd go and try to address that. Left unanswered, of course, David, is how his father would handle a close election where Joe Biden won.
All right, John Curl on another week at the White House. John, thank you. And with so many headlines, as John just reported there, on mail-in voting and on absentee voting, our partners at 538 have put together an easy-to-use state-by-state guide on voting, both in person and by mail. You can go to abcnews.com/WNTVote2020. Again, abcnews.com/WNTVote2020. We're going to turn now to the coronavirus here in the U.S. and another milestone. Cases now topping the 7 million mark and new cases of the virus now climbing in 32 states. More than 203,000 American lives have been lost. And tonight, Florida's governor now moving to pull back restrictions, even as that state hits a grim milestone, 14,000 dead now. And news this evening, another governor and his wife have now tested positive. Here's ABC's Whit Johnson.
Tonight, coronavirus numbers going in the wrong direction as the U.S. hits 7 million cases, jumping by a million new infections in less than a month. Still in Florida today, Governor Ron DeSantis lifting all restrictions on restaurants and other businesses, suspending fines for not wearing masks.
Some of the locals may be able to, they can do reasonable regulations, but you can't just say no. You can't say no after 6 months. And just have people twisting in the wind.
The governor even hoping for a full Super Bowl in February, but the state still reporting an average of over 100 deaths per day from the virus.
Being forced to get rid of all the safeguards that we've been using at this particular time is just not smart and incredibly dangerous.
Across the country, cases on the rise in 32 states, Puerto Rico, and Washington, D.C. Today, the governor of Virginia confirming he and his wife have tested positive. Governor Ralph Northam saying he's asymptomatic. The first lady has mild symptoms. This after one of his staffers recently contracted the virus. It comes just days after the governor and first lady of Missouri also tested positive. Wisconsin hitting a new record in hospitalizations this week.
There is no doubt that we are in a significant near crunch time in a number of regions in the state.
The CDC reporting young adults are driving the recent spread. The city of Boulder now banning all gatherings of 18 to 22-year-olds after linking nearly 80% of recent COVID cases to the University of Colorado Boulder.
It's not fair. I think it's impossible to enforce.
And tonight, a new Lancet study estimates that less than 10% of adults in the U.S. have COVID-19 antibodies. That means that more than 90% of Americans could still be vulnerable to the virus. David?
Of course, that's a key number. Whit Johnson with us tonight. Whit, thank you. We're going to turn now to the criminal prosecution for the COVID-related deaths of dozens of American veterans. The first charges involving nursing homes and COVID-19. The former director and the former medical director at the Holyoke Soldiers Home in Massachusetts have now been charged tonight with criminal neglect. Prosecutors say, among other things, they put 42 veterans, some COVID positive and others not even showing symptoms, in a single unit. The attorney general says the veterans risked their lives in war and called their treatment shocking. At least 76 died at the home since the beginning of the pandemic.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Have you ever wondered what you'd do with an extra hour in your day? Would you go for a run, take a nap, read a book? Or maybe show up for a friend. We often find ourselves wishing for more time, but the real question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The key to squeezing that special thing into your schedule is knowing what's truly important to you and making it a priority. That's where therapy comes in. It's not just about dealing with problems, it's about finding what matters to you so you can do more of it. If you've tried therapy, you know how beneficial it can be. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's a tool for learning positive coping skills, setting boundaries, and empowering yourself to be the best version of you. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. And the best part? You can switch therapists at any time at no additional charge. So whether it's finding that extra hour for yourself or embarking on a journey of self-discovery, therapy can be a game changer. Take the first step with BetterHelp and make your mental health a priority. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/tonight to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/tonight.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
There were some frightening moments during a live stream featuring former Congressman and presidential candidate Ron Paul today, appearing to suffer a medical emergency. Here's Ariel Reshef.
Tonight, the chilling moment Ron Paul suffered some sort of medical emergency, possibly a stroke, in the middle of a live stream. This video, shared on social media, shows the 85-year-old former Texas congressman and three-time presidential candidate suddenly slurring his speech on his YouTube channel today. Paul rushed to the hospital, later tweeting out this picture, giving the thumbs up, writing, "I am doing fine. Thank you for your concern." And while it's unclear whether Paul suffered a stroke, experts say they are common. Nearly 800,000 people in the U.S. have a stroke each year, one person every 40 seconds. The most common symptoms include weakness or numbness on one side of the face or body, difficulty speaking, changes in vision, dizziness, and headaches. Doctors say a victim's outcome depends on how fast they're treated.
Every second counts when you're having a stroke. So call 911 and get to the emergency room immediately.
And David, Ron Paul's eldest son says that he is up, walking, and talking, and in good spirits as he seeks medical attention tonight. David?
That is good news. All right, Ariel, thank you. To the index of other news, a confirmed tornado hitting Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. The tornado tearing along the coast today, throwing debris into the air, the severe weather remnants of Tropical Storm Beta. More heavy rain and possible tornadoes expected in the Carolinas tonight. And in the West, red flag warnings from California to Colorado with high heat and dry winds gusting up to 30 miles per hour, threatening to fuel new fires this weekend. We'll be on it. Finally tonight here, Justice Ginsburg, certainly known for her work ethic and late in life for her workouts. At the U.S. Capitol today, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the first woman, the first Jewish person ever to lie in state. And there was one mourner who honored her in his own way. Her longtime personal trainer, Brian Johnson, dropping down and doing push-ups to honor her. Johnson, an Army reservist, had trained Justice Ginsburg since 1999. Her husband, Marty Ginsburg, encouraging her to gain strength after her first battle with cancer.
One thing I want you to do is just grab them and just pull.
Standing up straight?
Yep.
The two would go on to train together twice a week for more than two decades. Their sessions captured in the documentary, RBG.
I am 84 years old and everyone wants to take a picture with me.
Tonight, that trainer and a nation honors a trailblazer. Some final push-ups for a woman who broke barriers and who fought to stay strong until the very end.